You know, historians, and this is sort of a not popular way to look at history these days, but historians kind of divide or look at turning points in history, you know, important events, usually battles or elections where everything can be separated into a before and after. I'm kind of that way with the Bacon Salt. Like, my life is a little different before Bacon Salt, now after Bacon Salt. Ian, you had Ian Chillog's here and Laura's here and Trisha's here. You had a lot of the Bacon Salt. You handled the Bacon Salt.
Yeah, and that
how did it change your life?
Well, I was surprised, actually. I thought it would make things taste like bacon. It's surprisingly difficult to remove bacon salt once you've brought it into your life. I had some vigorous washing of my hands last night to get the smell off, and there was still like a soapy bacon environment in my house. It's pretty gross. Yeah.
Do you wash it with just regular soap and water?
Well, had I had lava, you know, gritty soap,
I was thinking maybe you could actually scrub.
How much product placement are we going to do on this show?
You could scrub the actual bacon onto your skin, and it could perhaps counteract the effects of the bacon salt.
Yeah,
you know how those properties work.
Yeah,
Laura.
But in the end,
stickiness is a web concept. Should it be called bacon saltiness from now on?
No.
Okay, succinct. Trish McKinney, your life after bacon salt, how did it change you?
Not really changed my life in any way. I'm kind of still dealing with the aftertaste, I have to admit.
Yeah.
I thought we all
it's
liked
persistent.
It.
I liked it.
Okay. Or we were just with the guys.
You can have too much of a good thing. Yeah. That's what I learned from bacon salt.
All right.
But it's persistent, Trisha? The taste is persistent?
Yeah, it's persistent. Yeah. I have it right now.
Let us now remember fondly the bacon salt era, but put it behind us. And let us move into a new era, an era where we talk to our web editor, Laura Conaway, and her multitudinous friends in our On the Site segment. Sometimes we have some music for that, and there it is. Hello. Hello, Laura. What have you brought for us today?
Today I just want to say the Facebook newsletter is going out. You still have time to join our Facebook group.
I mean, it's like
group.
It's either You'll in or it. Out. It's on its way out.
It's going out in the mail.
The newsletter's
going out. To 995 inboxes today. We're about to cross the 1,000 mark. If you want to sign up for our Facebook group, you can do that at npr.org/BPP Facebook. Thing goes out around 2 o'clock, so sign up. You'll get it.
Wait. Can I say something?
Shoot.
That's considered bacon. Because if you sign
for
up
it.
For something
That's
and
so
it comes
true.
To your inbox, it's not spam, it's bacon.
Okay.
You won't need that bacon salt. We're going to send you some actual bacon.
Yeah.
We had a thread yesterday about the end of neckties. I just always thought that guys suffered in them. I think they look hot in them, but they seem to suffer in them. I was amazed by the...
You mean they look warm. Their body temperature
hot with one
risen.
T.
I think they look
sexy. Not,
yeah,
not
three oh, you're they thinking the Paris Hilton
way.
Hot with two T's, okay.
I couldn't tell.
But it was really interesting to see some of what people said about suffering in neckties. So one person wrote, "I believe ties were put on this earth to remind men of Adam's fall from grace." That's from Matthew Scallon.
Say. That could be the mark of Cain right there.
And another person says, "When I wear them, my head starts to feel all hot and bloated. Think Mr. Mackey from South Park." It's from Ron Barrow.
You know, I never learned to tie a tie properly. I've noticed. It's always crooked. And I try and cover it up by kind of pulling the collar down, but it's always tilted.
I'm going to tell a tale out of school. I do some sports coverage, and NBA superstar Zach Randolph, who stands 7 foot tall, has a guy tie his tie before the game. And afterwards, he just... slips it on and knots it up.
Is his tie... Oh, okay.
He
so
can't
his tie
do it.
Tire doesn't have to reach up
he has
to
a tie. He doesn't have a food taster. Net. Right.
Yeah.
No. Okay. He ties the tie stays in his locker, then he knots it up post-fact.
So, Ian, I hear you have something of a quest.
Yes. The last week I was drinking a beer from Brooklyn Brewery, a little more product placement, and it said on the bottle, come to our brewery Saturday between 12 and 5, and... I looked at it and I said to my girlfriend Nora, we should go to the Brooklyn Brewery, you know, between 12 and 5 on Saturday. And I immediately thought, oh my God, what if I did everything packaging and advertising told me to do? What would my life be like? And so I'm going to try that for a week starting right now. There's going to be some limits on this because I don't want to have to go overseas. And one thing I saw soon after the beer bottle told me to visit a historic Tuscan villa. So I'm limited to $10 a day And I don't want anyone to get hurt, emotionally or physically.
Is there any packaging that tells you to hurt other people?
Well, I just think, like a lot of
do the do can be interpreted to, you know.
A lot of this stuff can be interpreted, you know, a lot of it's very, very vague, and that's the stuff I'm interested in. Like, just do it. Right. I don't know what, but...
Yeah, depending on what it was. Know. Like, what if there's an annoying guy on the sidewalk next to you? Well,
and the thing I'm thinking,
context is a lot of it.
Yeah.
This is awesome. And what form will your reporting on this take?
Well, I'm gonna kind of keep a journal of it on the blog from time to time over the next week, and then we can kind of debrief on the radio once it's all over.
Aren't you basically guaranteed to give us all internet viruses? Just given click here messages you're going to get.
Yeah, well, that I think gets into no one gets hurt. Okay. So, you know.
We need a firewall around here.
I've got one to start for you right here.
Okay.
Come to Starbucks for a free new song daily. Product placement. Go get
it. All right, that's it. 7 days. Right?
Wait, I brought one.
Daily.
I had this hanging up at my cubicle, and so you have to do what this says. You have to hop on down to Bunnytown.
It's in your heart, Ian.
Now, how do I do this? I can hop, definitely, but where is Bunnytown?
In your heart.
Okay. No, it's actually on TV, so I think
you
can just get the remote.
Wait, are you advocating a cardiac arrhythmia for Ian?
Okay.
But you have to hop while you use the remote, I think.
Yeah, I'll definitely do some, let me
You shouldn't tell too many people about this. Because they'll just inundate you with the suggestions.
You know what? I invite everyone in the web world and on here on the show to make this as difficult and horrible for me as possible.
Man. He has thrown down
the
gauntlet.
You do not know what you're asking for.
Yeah.
Serving suggestions.
All right, and that's a great stunt or a piece of journalism, as it were, and that is also it for this hour of the BPP. We are online always at npr.org/Bryant Park. I'm Mike Pesca, and this was the Bryant Park Project from NPR News, and will continue to be.